Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to We All Serve, a podcast series brought to you by Arizona Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve. Today's focus is on ESGR support activities in Northern Arizona. I'm your co-host and moderator, Mike Phillips. I'd like to introduce our other co-host, Dan Irving, the Arizona Director for ESGR. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
Before introducing our guest, I'd again like to thank Karen Nowicki and Phoenix Business Radio X for their ongoing support of our podcast series. We appreciate the opportunity they're providing us to tell the ESGR story. Now on to our guests, who are appearing today from Prescott via remote Zoom feed. It's my pleasure to introduce Larry Jacobs, the Northern Arizona Section Chairman for ESGR. Good afternoon, Larry.
Good afternoon.
Joining Mr. Jacobs on the call is Larry Gray. He's an ESGR volunteer active in several community service groups. In fact, Larry was just named Man of the Year by Prescott Leadership. Welcome to the show and congratulations, Larry Gray.
Thank you very much.
For those new to our podcast, I'd like to provide a quick overview of ESGR. It's a Department of Defense program, but one run almost entirely by volunteers. Its mission is to promote cooperation and understanding between Reserve and National Guard service members and their civilian employers. ESGR volunteers assist in the resolution of conflicts arising from an employee's military commitment. Our organization also recognizes and supports employers who employed Guard and Reserve members. Larry Jacobs, Northern Arizona is a large area. Tell us about the communities up there, your background, and how you got involved in ESGR.
Well, the way I got involved with ESGR is a good friend of mine, Darren Benners, who is a colonel in the Air Force that I was affiliated with in the Prescott area, told me about it. I did know about it because of my prior service. I did spend 4 years active duty in military on C-130E type aircraft when I was in the active duty Air Force. That was back by about 1970 through 74. I got out and then joined the Air National Guard on KC-135E, A and E type aircraft down at Goldwater Air National Guard Base. And I had the opportunity, while I was a traditional guardsman working for the Phoenix Police Department, I also went out there as a crew chief and also was a maintenance supervisor on those types of aircraft for 21 years. So because of my prior military service, I wanted to give something back now that I was retired. And it was an opportunity to give back to the men and women that were in the Guard and Reserve. We didn't have the opportunities when we were there to have some of the benefits that they now have and make sure they were aware of that.
So you spent many years in the Arizona National Guard, got to know that experience, live that experience as a soldier, and have an understanding today of really what those men and women go through. Is that what motivates you to serve as a volunteer?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, back in my day, we had the Soldiers and Sailors Relief Act, and we didn't have a lot of the benefits because it was we had a draft back then, back in 1972, when Nixon changed that into an all-volunteer force. That created ESGR, and as it created ESGR, it created a lot of opportunities for those people because many times over, they were reached out and drawn upon to do active duty military service, so they had to build in some protections for their civilian job and along with other things that they had to do. And it gave me an opportunity to be able to go out there and explain to them some of the benefits that they had under the USERRA clause, which is the Uniformed Services Employment Reemployment Rights Act. And at the same time, their employers, because we find that a lot of them don't know about this. And as an ombudsman, I oftentimes have an opportunity to mediate some of those differences and to ensure that they are aware of what benefits or what their responsibilities are as employers, along with what the responsibilities of our service members are.
Larry, you had touched on something there. You talked about an ombudsman, and I know you're an ombudsman as well. Can you please explain a little bit what that means and what you do for employers and service members?
Sure. One of the things that happens as an ombudsman, we have the opportunity to be able to mediate differences that occur between service members and their employers. And many times these things occur because the employers aren't aware of the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, which is under Title 38 of the United States Code. And under that, we break down in Title 20, which deals with the Code of Federal Regulations, what all the requirements are for the employers that employ service members in either the National Guard or the Reserve. What happens is if they violate these provisions, rather than going and them filing a complaint with the Department of Labor and have their, and, you know, them investigated, we can intervene and be the first step in that process. And we have an opportunity to go out there, call the employer, educate the employer, make them aware, and attempt to mediate the differences that may occur between the service member and at the same time, the employer, to make sure that they are complying with the law. Again, we are not the enforcement arm of the law. All we can do is try to mediate it because the enforcement arm is the Department of Labor. But a lot of times education does that. And as a result of going first through ESDR and the ombudsman program, we can resolve about 80% of those complaints that come in, which alleviates a lot of the part of Department of Labor from having to investigate this.
Larry Gray, tell us a little bit about your background and how you became an ESDR volunteer.
Well, I put it back on Darren Veneers again. At a meeting I was at, him and Larry were talking and encouraged me to become involved. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps, went to Vietnam back in 66, so the 40th Mortar Battery. And when I came back and I joined the Phoenix Police Department, I was there for just shy of 37 years. We had the opportunity to live in Prescott and Phoenix at the same time for about 8 years. And when that ended, then I ended up being a part-time, temporary, seasonal police officer with the city of Prescott for about 9 years. But during that time, Larry encouraged me, and Darren did, and became involved with ESDR. The reality, you know, my title is military outreach. The real reality is because of Larry Jacobs, and we have another great ESDR member up here, Pat Kirkendall, and Pat's very involved and very committed to the community. And so as a result of that, I became involved, and I really enjoy the opportunity to go out and especially present Patriot Awards, because that encourages the employer to realize the support they've been given to the military service, and it gives that service member the opportunity to be able to acknowledge the special efforts that his employer has done to make life a little easier for him in difficult times.
Larry, you bring up a good point. You talked about the recognition, and that's what ESDR really is all about, right? We educate the employers, we educate the military members on their responsibilities and obligations. We allow our service members an opportunity to recognize their bosses and then present those awards. We also have other activities that we do, all to get them better educated in having a Guard Reserve member working for them. I like to tell the audience this because a lot of folks, when you have a veteran, when you hire a veteran, you have that veteran. So the difference between the veteran and a Guard and Reserve member is most Guard and Reserve members today are veterans, but they still have that military obligation. They drill 2 weeks, they do their training, but they work in the communities that they live in. So they work for our civilian employers, and that's why it's so important that we support those civilian employers. And Larry, I know you have run our boss lifts and things like that with the employers. Could you just explain a little bit about that and what that means to the employers when we do those type of events?
Sure, Dan. One of the outreach programs that we like to get involved in is to give the employers an opportunity to see what the men and the women in the Guard and Reserve here in Arizona do. Many of them aren't aware, but we have almost 15,000 between all seven branches of the service that we deal with, five that are in the Reserve and the three National Guard. But of that 15,000, those are distributed throughout Arizona. One of the things we do is we tell those service members, if you'd like to give your employer an opportunity to get a bird's eye view on just what it is that the Guard and CERT members do when they go on their unit training activities, which is 1 weekend out of the month, and then in some cases, 2 weeks out of the year to train. What we do is we select 25 of these employers, and we do this twice a year, and they come down to the Goldwater Air National Guard Base down in Phoenix, Arizona. We bring them in, we do briefings with them. Colonel Donaldson, who is now the commander down to 161st Air Refueling Wing, tells him about the background of the 161st. We bring in the boom operator. They go through emergency procedures and go through several different things. And then when they actually go out to the aircraft and get to be involved in participating in a three-hour mission, going up and doing an in-flight refueling mission where many times over we rendezvous with F-35s from the 944th down at Luke Air Force Base or F-16s from the 162nd fighter group down in Tucson. And sometimes we just get other receivers that pop in. You may get a C-130 or even a KC-135. They get the opportunity not only to freely move around the aircraft, but they can go into the boom pod two at a time and actually watch an in-flight refueling operation. They can go up and talk to the pilots and the co-pilot while they're up in the flight deck, so they get a free run of the aircraft. We also promote that they take a lot of pictures and just have a great opportunity. And after the three-hour mission, when we bring them back, we take them up and we do an actual award presentation where we give them a certificate, and that certificate has their name on it. It's for a Copperhead Emissary Air Crew member. In case you guys haven't seen one, here's what it looks like. And they get a certificate presented to them. And then what we do up north is as a means of going back and being able to talk to the employer again. About 5 days later, we go out, meet with the employer, and we bring them a photograph of themselves and all the other members that participated. It's usually an 8x10, very nicely framed. And it actually shows them, and it's something to commemorate the mission that they did, and something, again, to thank them for hiring our Guard and Reserve members and for what they do in order to fortify the freedoms that we've all become, you know, very well acquainted with and want to keep that. And part of it means that we have to have a strong military force. A lot of people don't know, but almost 900,000 members of our 1.2 to 1.3 million member active duty force, 900,000 Guard and reservists that come throughout our 50 states and four territories. So without these members, we wouldn't be able to be as successful as we are in maintaining those freedoms and protecting what we have here in America. So it's a way of giving back to the employer and thanking them for all that they do for our Guard and reservists.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. And that's why it's so important that the employers know they play a vital role in our national defense. And this is how they do that. And so one of the things that we are trying to do, we're trying to expand those activities. Of course, COVID hit us in March, as we all know, and we had to kind of slow down, but we were looking at doing Black Hawk boss lifts where we take them up on the Black Hawks over at the Army Guard. So there's a lot of things that we haven't planned to do, but we have to get through this COVID thing before we can start doing that. But we also do the breakfast with the bosses where we bring them into a base and we bring employers in. They can get to meet the commanders. That's a really good thing. All this strengthens the relationships with employer and the Guard itself. I know it from a standpoint of you guys, you do a lot up there because you've got Navajo, Camp Navajo up there. You've got a lot of military bases. But can you talk a little bit about how that strengthens the not only the communications, but just the overall that tie to the military member and their employer?
Well, I would believe that what happens is that the breakfast with the boss, you know, due to Larry's leadership and past leadership, we've been able to have several of those. And we've also been able to have a partnership with the Goodwill organization and their employer aspect of it. And when we have those meetings that we did up in Flagstaff, the commander from Camp Navajo came over, and the employers then were able to interact with him, understand what his concerns might be, what some of the service members' concerns might be, and also his ability to acknowledge that fact that the employers provide so much to our men and women who are in the service and have to give up. And we want them, the employers, to understand that we and ESGR and our nation with our military service members acknowledge that this is a burden for our employers. And that's why we want to do special things for them, like acknowledge them with awards and so on, and just be able to provide such things as the boss with. Actually, I haven't been on one of those yet. My wife, as a former state legislator, was on one of those. So I got to see some pretty interesting pictures. And someday in time, that will happen with me also.
One of the other things that we have an opportunity to do, since we have such a large area, because we pretty well encompass everything that's north of Phoenix, the outlying Phoenix area. So we get around to a lot of communities, a lot of large communities like Prescott, Prescott Valley, Flagstaff, Kingman, you know, Fort Mojave, Lake Havasu, Sholo, Lakeside, Pine Top. So we've got a lot of traveling to do. So what we try to do is try to incorporate, when we have these areas to go, two or three activities at a time because of the amount of travel. So we have the opportunity to go out because many of our service members will want to have their employers recognized, so they put them in for a Patriotic Supervisor Award. This is an opportunity where we get to go into these communities, and we try to do it in conjunction to a speaking engagement where we can either talk to the Kiwanis or we can talk to some of the various clubs, Elks, Moose, you know, different organizations, you know, the Chamber of Commerce. We go try to get all of them, and we can do a PowerPoint presentation and really enlighten them a little bit in terms of just what our National Guard and Reserve component troops do. There's kind of a misconception out there because in the past, many people thought the National Guard, you know, was just what guys do and go off on the weekend somewhere and, you know, get off and just go do this and that. But they're pretty highly trained individuals in pretty well all the different disciplines in military service that require a large amount of capabilities, and they have to maintain, all of our Guard and Reserve component members have to maintain the same certifications as the active duty members. So you can see in some cases, like in my unit at the 161st Air Refueling Wing, where you have pilots, you know, they have to do more than your standard 1 week in a month or 2 weeks out of the year. You know, they may have to go during their own time, four times a month, for instance, just to maintain the flying certification, which is required. So some of those have to do a little bit more, and you'll find that many of our Guard and Reserve component members do this on their own time. So it's something that they give their all, and many of their employers aren't even aware of the 40 hours that they pull at work. They're doing their own time on their own weekends and so forth in order to maintain these certifications. So, and it is required for them because you never know when they're going to be called. And unfortunately, you know, fortunately now, we're not as called as much as we have been in the past. And these folks are the same as your active duty folks. And that's what a lot of folks don't understand about Guard and Reserve. They do the very same thing. And I know in the time that I was in, I spent 21 years. I was mobilized a lot of different times. I was mobilized during the Gulf War, during Desert Shield, Desert Storm for 6 months. And that does have a little bit of a problem for an employer. In my case, it was a real problem because the Phoenix Police Department at the time had 300 members that were deployed during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. So that took a lot. It took about 15% of their workforce away. So we understand that, and it's a little easier for the larger organizations that hire Guard and Reserve members, but mom and pop operation, it's a little harder for. So, you know, it doesn't keep them from hiring somebody else, but they know that their job is protected, so in return, so we're trying to make a good relationship with that employer so that they understand that they're committing to the freedoms that we all enjoy by hiring that member too.
And you mentioned earlier you cover such a large geographic area. Talk a little bit about the different businesses that are up there and that you interact with.
Well, we've got a lot of business. I can almost guarantee you that every one of the large cities here we have gone to, and they have statements of support within their local city government. So when you look at the city of Flagstaff, city of Prescott, city of Prescott Valley, city of Lake Havasu, Kingman, I mean, I can go on and on. Sholo, all of your major cities are already working with the Guard and Reserve, along with many of your major companies and your major hospitals, because we have a lot of nurses and doctors that are in the Guard and Reserve. So when you look at like Flagstaff Regional Hospital, or you look at Yavapai Regional Hospital here in Prescott Valley, they all have statements of support. We work very closely. A lot of the major manufacturing outfits, we have Ruger that builds all the rifles and pistols and so forth. Ruger Manufacturing is here in Prescott. They're a member. They've gone up on boss lists. For engineering up in Flagstaff. I mean, I can name just about every major business and tell you all the aviation related businesses and so forth have all affiliated with the Guard Reserve as far as being a member with ESGR and carrying a statement of support in wanting to support the mission of ESGR.
And you guys are a pretty small team up there, right? It's you and it's Larry Gray and it's, you mentioned Pat. You guys get around.
Well, Larry and I are fortunate because we are retired. We have another member, his name slips me right, Tony, who's retired. And so the three of us on occasion, we try to make sure if we have to go out of town that one of us goes along or drives or tag team with somebody. It's interesting to meet with the employers. As a benefit for the ESGR member, you actually connect with a lot of important leaders throughout not only our community, but within our business sector. So that brings a, if you will, a benefit to some degree to the ESGR member of being able to reach out. There are a number of different opportunities. When something in the community, when we see a need in the community, it now we have a connection with somebody in leadership or somebody that has influence within that community, may have influence in a particular business that may be able to provide additional service to a need that is needed in that community. So all these things kind of tie together. That partnership makes a big difference.
Yeah, Larry brings up a good point because what we've done over the years, at least the last 5 or 6 years, is we have partnered with many other organizations. Even though our primary mission, our primary focus is toward the employer support for the Guard and Reserve and the Guard and Reserve component members, we also work with our veterans and we work with the VA hospital. We work with U.S. Vets up here. We work with the Research Center, the Veterans Research Center. So all of these other veteran-related organizations, along with us, work together. We do the stand-downs for, you know, veterans that maybe need a little help up. You know, we do those in Flagstaff. We do those here in Prescott. So we have made an affiliation with a lot of the other veteran groups and work very closely together with them to help them achieve their goals as well.
Right. And I think, Larry, what you guys see there is it's a small community. So you know everybody. And I know you. I know, Larry, I know you. You go into a hardware store. You go into Ace Hardware. You're talking to them about ESGR. I know you are. That's how you are. That's how you operate. One of the problems we have in the central area here in the Phoenix area, in Maricopa, is it's such a big community. It's we have about 30 volunteers in this area, but trying to get to every employer is very difficult. And some of the things that we're doing right now is we're getting to the employers that have Guard and Reserve members, but we really need to start getting to the employers that don't have Guard and Reserve and kind of educate them and show them the benefits and the values of hiring Guard and Reserve and making them comfortable with the USERRA law. I don't like beating employers up on USERRA law. Most of our employers here in the Valley, I know, are very good. And those that have Guard and Reserve working for them really go above and beyond what they need to as far as the law is concerned. So I think that one of the things I would say, if you're listening to this our podcast right now, you can go on to our website and you can contact us if you're interested, and we'll be more than happy to come by and take talk to you about ESGR or what you're trying to do. We've even helped with some organizations that wanted to do, say, veterans infinity groups, things like that. They didn't quite know how to get started. We have a lot of volunteers in many different areas of business in the Valley here and up north or down south that can share those benchmarks from the companies that they're working and help somebody who's looking to maybe get a program going at their place of business. So I just wanted to throw that out there. We are on Facebook. You can contact us that way, but please reach out to us. And the other thing I want to say is, we're all volunteers. This is a volunteer-led and volunteer-run organization. Even though we are under the Department of Defense, we're volunteers. And we do this because we're passionate about what we do. The good thing to the employers and the service members is it's free, right? We don't charge a thing for what we do. We throw special training classes together for some of the SHRMs, the HR groups. If an organization out there is a lot of Guard and Reserve working for them, and it's a big organization, and they'd like us to come in and just give them a USERRA training to their HR folks, we'll be happy to do that. And we do that. We have our ombudsman, trained ombudsmans. They are the experts in the law. And I got to say, I'm very proud of what they do because in Arizona, they have a very good success rate. When they get involved in a mediation, usually it's resolved with just basically a misunderstanding of the law. So you don't have to get lawyers involved or any of that. This is all free to both the service member and the employer. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I think there's a lot of things that people don't know that we do. And that's what we're here to do is to support those employers who hire our Guard and Reserve. And Larry, you hit it on the head when you said it's about little less than 50% of our armed forces are Guard and Reserve. And I think you gave more of the numbers. You're more number guys, guy. It's important for employers to understand that.
That's a concept I don't think they do understand.
I know. And we try very hard, right, Larry? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's actually 42% of our military complement to the United States is made up of Guard and Reserve, and I don't think they're aware of that. And they're always astonished when they hear that.
Yeah, and the other part of this is the other thing that's happening right now, and one of the things that we're getting from our national is we need to start talking this to the employers as well, is especially in the Guard, not so much in the Reserve, but in the Guard, they also have a state mission. So they're out on COVID, they're fighting fires. So not only do they get called up for their federal missions and could be gone from the workplace, they also can get called up by the governor and on a state mission. And we have a lot of those right now that are on state missions or on federal missions. Those are some things we're going to have to start educating. One of the things that's coming down the road is, it used to be 15 days active duty, and I think that's going to be a little bit longer now. They're going to extend that training period. And it goes back to what you said earlier, Larry, is they want the Guard and Reserve folks to be as qualified, trained up as the active duty, but to try to get that done in, weekend and 2 weeks during the year is not enough. So they're going to be adding some time to that. So that's going to take them out from their employers. So we need to talk that up and see how that's going to affect our employers. And one of the things that we also do is we talk to employers and we do, for relevant issues, we can take those up to the national for the employers. So that's something else we do. So if it's something that's really going to affect the employers, or if the stress level is getting to a point where, they can't do it much longer because these folks are constantly being deployed out, I can tell you that they're doing a study right now at the national level to determine, what that stress level is, because we know that there's a stress level for our employers. But it's important that, again, they hire Guard and Reserve. There's a value for hiring Guard and Reserve. There really is. And once we talk to them and they see the value of hiring Guard and Reserve, they all want them. They all say, how do we hire these? So what we've done is we've partnered with Arizona at Work. So they help us. They're a part of the DES system. And they help us in cases where employers are looking for Guard and Reserve members. We try to get them placed. We don't do that as ESGR, but we're not just going to, we're not going to. I have too many employers ask me all the time, how do we hire these Guard and Reserve members? So we had to do something. And that's how we're doing it. We're just referring them over to Arizona at Work. So those are some things we're doing to try to, you know, get employers the folks that they need. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to hire two Guard and Reserve members now for the place that I work at. And I'm going through the same agencies to get those. So,
yeah, Larry, you'd mentioned the word community earlier and talked about the networking with other organization. And that's such a benefit that I see ESGR bringing to various employment centers and workplaces, is that nobody's in it by themselves. You are part of a larger community. And Dan, you had mentioned also all the things that the Arizona National Guard's been doing this year. I mean, they've been all over the state geographically, up to the Indian communities, down to the border. They've been in California helping with the terrible wildfire season that that state's experienced. And all of that is their individual Guard members and reservists. They're serving their community. They're serving fellow mankind. And I know you guys are on the front line. You recognize that service, and you also recognize the employers that support those individuals providing those services. And Prescott was just in the national spotlight a little while ago. Talk a little bit about the City of Prescott's award and what that represents.
Sure. One of the highest awards that the ESGR gives out is known as the Freedom Award. And the Freedom Award is a highly sought after award because it's an award that's actually given by the Secretary of Defense in the Pentagon. And there's 15 of these awards given out only once a year. And there's always over 3,000 employers vying for those awards. But they're broken into three different categories, five in each category. One are businesses, and I can't recall exactly how it is. It's like small businesses, you know, under 50 employers. And then there's one with businesses that are large. And then there's one, you know, over 50 employees. And then there's one that has businesses that's governmental entities. And this year, again, Arizona has been very good over the years. I think in total now, just since this award came out, I believe it was 1994, we've received somewhere along the lines of 9 or 10 of these awards. One year we got two. But this year, we had one recipient that did win the Freedom Award here in the city of Prescott. It was the Prescott Fire Department. And Fire Chief Dennis Light over there put together a team with several individuals. And they do things over there that's just phenomenal. They had one of their reservists that was activated for Iraq. And they do all kinds of new things. They had a TDY flag up at the fire station. Of course, there were several benefits that they also extend to their employees, their Guard and Reserve members that go above and beyond what they're expected to do under USERRA. But these are, again, these are very prestigious awards. And to get one of these awards is saying that you're doing the right things when it comes to supporting your military members.
I think we've all been involved in the Patriot Award ceremonies or some of the other recognition that ESGR provides. And it's so rewarding to see the emotion that comes out at those ceremonies. These awards really have meaning. The employers love to get the recognition, and the Guard and Reserve members love to put their employer and their supervisors in the spotlight and basically just say, thank you. Share with us some of the stories that you have in your experience with the businesses up there and presenting some of these awards. I know you guys have done a lot of them. Larry, Gray, does anything come to mind?
Well, I was impressed with a public works reservist that's up in Flagstaff. He's done time in the Marine Corps, and now he's an Army reservist. And his ability and using the skills that he learned in the service, he's been able to get a number of different promotions. He's highly thought of by his employer there. Just that his dedication to self-improvement, which obviously when he self-improves and he applies that to his work, then his employer gets that improvement. And just those examples and the opportunity to listen to both the reservists and then to learn about some different businesses. Larry and I were both on the Phoenix Police Department. We do have some interaction with a number of different things. But the in-depth understanding of how a particular business works, what they're involved in, whether it's interstate, nationally, or internationally, and how that support of the Garden Reserve, or your support of the Garden Reserve and those service members, how that impacts their ability to be able to complete their mission and their ability to provide service to their customers.
It's great stuff, and it is very rewarding to be involved in projects that recognize that good service. And while we have the opportunity, I want to thank both you guys for really being the face of ESGR in Northern Arizona and everything that you do up there. You're great representatives of the organization. And as everybody can tell, you're really articulate and passionate about the work that ESGR does.
So, yeah, and I echo that. I want to thank you both. And I also want to put out another plug. Because if you're thinking about you'd like to volunteer in an organization, again, please look on our Facebook. Please go to our website and look us up. We're always looking for volunteers. You don't have to have a military background. You could have a military background, but you don't necessarily have to. We have some volunteers that have not served in the military and do an outstanding job for us. They can talk to the members. They can talk to the employers. So if you're thinking that you'd like to get involved in something like that, please reach out to us and give us a call. And we'll certainly call you back and love to talk to you.
Larry and Larry, do you guys have anything else you'd like to share with the audience today?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, I'd like to echo some of what Dan just said, that we're always looking for volunteers. I have one volunteer now up in Flagstaff, but I'd like to expand that to maybe another volunteer Flagstaff. I'd like to get one in the area up around Lakeside, Pine Top. You know, these are areas that we have to routinely travel, and we feel we could do a lot more with our ESGR budget if we didn't have to be driving that far and doing that. We could maybe have other individuals that we could train to facilitate some of those volunteer activities in that area. And also the Lake Havasu and Fort Mojave area, or Kingman. Either one of those areas would help us out a lot. So if anyone who's out there listening lives in any of those areas and would be interested in maybe getting involved in volunteer activities for the employer support for the Garden Reserve, they can feel free to call me. I can be reached from my cell phone at 602-380-3829.
Terrific, terrific. Great. And you can also go on the website, esgr.mil/Arizona, and all of our contact information is out there. So, we'll do our best to send some folks your way, Larry, and build our network. And again, you guys are doing a great job. Thanks for sharing your insights and stories with us this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Larry and Larry.
Thank you.